Welcome to Coffee Science and Guru with your hosts Josh and the ever knowledgeable Adam Carr.
Hello.
And today we are podcasting through lockdown, so we're doing this online. And today's topic that we're going to cross over is what is barista competition, and have some reflections over the 2019 competition. So we'll explain what it is and some thoughts behind it, and hopefully you get a lot of value out of your listening enjoyment.
Yeah. The competition is an interesting one, isn't it, Josh? I mean, you know, I've got very little experience in competition, having, you know, never competed or even looked to compete, really. Although I helped a couple of you guys compete a little while ago. But I mean, you're the one who sort of went through it. So, look, I guess for today, I guess I'll probably be asking more questions and fielding, which is cool. So, you know, you mentioned the 2019 competition. What's the significance of that year?
Well, it's a funny thing with competitions. They start out halfway the year before. So in order to prepare for 2019, I actually competed in 2018. 2018 was also the first year I joined the company. So it was a bit of a whirlwind of a year. Yeah, so I competed at regionals, or also known as states. So there's one competition per state. I came third in that particular competition, went on to nationals in February 2019, held in Melbourne, competed there. And yeah, basically it was a stepped out process and it was learning all the way. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So, I mean, the competition, I mean, how long have you been in coffee before you started the competition?
I'd have to say probably 7-8 years, somewhere around there.
7-8 years. Okay. So you're pretty experienced when you started it.
Yeah.
I mean, what was the reasoning behind, you know, competing? Why did you want to compete? Pure glory, or was it just a push your knowledge to the next level?
It's all of that. I'm competitive by nature. And if there's no one around me to compete against, I'll compete a bit against myself just to keep things interesting. But, you know, I actually came across coffee competitions when I was a landscaper, which partially drew me to the industry. Then I met another barista. He gave me a coffee that just didn't taste like coffee, which blew my mind. I didn't know coffee could have other flavors except that really dark, bitter stuff that I once upon a time thought was Milo and stuck a teaspoon of it inside my mouth.
Delicious. Interesting experience.
Yeah.
Interesting side note, one of the world barista competition things is James Hoffman. He recently published a video looking at eating spent coffee pucks.
Yeah, I did. I saw.
Did you watch that?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
I didn't. I almost, part of me refuses to, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure. I've tasted accidentally the stuff that's at the back end of it. It wasn't good. So I don't know what he's, maybe there's a special recipe or something you put in there. And
I don't know.
Anyway, I digress. He's relevant because he's a barista champion. But at the same time, let's get back to you anyway. But yeah, so you actually ate some coffee, which you thought was disgusting, no doubt.
The instant coffee, straight out of a tin when I was really young.
Oh, instant. Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't Milo. It very much was not Milo in that point of life and moment of time for me. So I absolutely rejected it. But when I came across coffee competitions on YouTube when I was out bush cutting and cutting grass and all that sort of stuff, I realized there's a whole breed of people that were insane about being the best that they could be with their product, with themselves, their performance. And that attracted me to coffee, very much so. So it's actually competition that brought me to coffee. And 7 Miles has been absolutely the pathway that opened up to me back in 2018, where they said, yeah, if you want to compete in coffee, well, you know, you stick with us and we'll create a pathway that you can achieve that, which is really cool. It's one of the reasons I love my company so much. They really do champion people's goals and passion.
Yeah, I think so. And look, we're still working to get you to the world's, you know.
Absolutely, bring it on.
It's certainly one of our missions. And I think, you know, where you're placed now as a head trainer and everything, you know, it's, mate, good luck. We'll help you. Yeah, all right. So you went into states, you got into nationals. You know, what is your experience? I mean, getting into the nationals, I sort of bypassed the state a little bit. Now, how did you find the atmosphere doing the comp?
It was intense. I tend to compartmentalize my emotions. So it's all, at this point, it's all a job. There's objectives you got to hit. There's places you got to be, people to see, conversations to have in a certain manner of timing. And so when it got to nationals, it was full ball. I had left the hotel. So I'd come down from Queensland down to Sydney to just fine-tune my competition. jumped on an aircraft the following day at about 5 a.m. to get down to Melbourne as soon as I can just to get a lay of the land. I actually left my signature drink behind. Part of my product of my signature drink was left behind in the hotel room. And thankfully, Karina, one of our colleagues, went from one side of Sydney to the other to pick it up for me. But when I got down there, I had to find a place to, you know, store my grinder because I was taking an EK43S. It's a really heavy grinder. And I had no trolley. I had no no people to meet. So I had to travel from the airport to the hotel and then get from there to the Melbourne Convention Centre. Once there, some of the big takeaways was just logistics. Like on day of comp, I was the very first competitor and I was actually kept out of the doors. No fault of anyone. It's just, you know, everyone had have responsibilities, but they thought that I was just a public member. I'm like, no, I'm here to compete. Only to find out that once I did get in, all my competitors, all my peers had actually accessed the competitors' room from the loading dock. So that was a huge takeaway for me, is that bypass the public entry, go around to the loading dock where I'm supposed to go next time.
So no one told you that you needed to go to the loading dock?
No, it was
so just the kind of thing that only, right.
It's just learning curves. Yeah.
Right. So those in the know kind of knew that. So, but now that you've done a competition, now you kind of not kind of know.
Yeah. Yeah. And then pretty much everyone came in with teams of people. So they came in with teams of people and they knew the routine as well as the competitor themselves. They knew the products. They knew they would bring out huge amounts of coffee, literally just to make 12 drinks in a 15-minute period. So they would bring out bags and bags of coffee. They would degas some the night before. They would use fresh bags. They would use slight different roasts. They would confirm tasting notes. So right there, a half an hour before they get up on stage, they may change their tasting notes. But by this time, it's really fine-tuned because it comes down to points. It comes down to how well can you speak to that coffee. If you can speak to it like it's, you know, a blood brother, a blood sister, then you've got no problem hitting the marks and coming out on top as far as competition points are concerned.
So there's
a lot of takeaways there.
So you're talking about competition points and all that kind of thing. What do you actually need to present to the judges? And you get awarded points for various things. What are the drinks? How many drinks do you need to present to them? You mentioned that you left your signature drink behind. So obviously signature drink's one thing.
Yeah.
What's that about?
So to break it down, the barista competition is probably the most time invested competition out of all the different disciplines. There's quite a few. So if, you know, serving 12 drinks in 15 minutes isn't a cup of tea because it's coffee, there are other things to access. But basically the crux of the competition is in 15 minutes, you have four tasting judges. You are to supply them with four espressos, four milk-based beverages, and four signature drinks. There's also a head judge who will compare differences between cup one and cup four or cup two and cup three throughout the competition to make sure the balance is the same and to understand what the judges are tasting and how they're scoring, because they tie all the scores together. Then you've got two technical judges behind you. They watch everything that you do. So if you change your method or your workflow, they'll mark that. They'll make a note of that. They'll make a note of all the numbers, anything that you say that may not line up to what is actually delivered. They'll make a note of that. And these things can either add or subtract to your points, depending on how well or how not well you hit them. There's also a script judge who's writing down everything that you're saying as best they can, word for word. Then you've got a timekeeper who will manage time and make sure that they will give time checks when the barista is called for them. So if the barista calls for a time check or, you know, before the comp happens, they'll go, hey, do you want a notification 2 minutes before your comp, your 15 minutes ends? Things like that, so you can keep yourself on task. Then you've got a cameraman and you've got a stage and it's all, there's a lot happening.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, pretty intense, man. So did you talk about what scores highly? Like what are the things that they're looking for that give you the points or take the least points away? What is it that they're trying to target?
Well, the entire drink is based on the foundational espresso. So one of the things you have to hit with your signature drink is synergy. And synergy is, okay, what did you add, subtract, or do to your drink that lifted the espresso to a whole nother level, that displayed something different about it or showed it off in an aspect that someone might not have naturally considered? And then that's the same for the milk. They go, okay, well, what does milk do to this espresso? And then there's also the espresso itself. So what can I expect from drinking this espresso? Am I going to, you know, taste peach blossoms and rose water and blackberries and then am I going to get something different, or am I going to get exactly peach, rose water and blossoms? If you can hit those numbers exactly, well, then that's where your points compound. So it's really imperative for baristas to know their espresso and know how to adjust and know what their espresso does if certain things go wrong on stage, and be able to think on their feet and change their tasting notes because of how well they know that coffee. And then basically pull the judge's attention to what you're highlighting about it. So you've got to sell it. You've got to say, yeah, this tastes like peaches. And if a judge sits there and goes, I'm not getting peaches, man, I'm absolutely getting apricot here. There's like no joke here. It's definitely apricot. Well, then you're going to lose points. And that's going to affect all the other subsequent drinks, because you're saying a flavor note that doesn't match the judges are experiencing.
Interesting. That's funny, because in my experience of people tasting coffee is different people can sometimes get different flavor notes based on what their impressions are. Mm. I'd imagine that it's probably affected, you know, I also know that flavor notes are impacted by what people actually say. So I'd imagine, like in your example, like between peach and apricot, like they're both stone fruit, right? So arguably they're in the same class of kind of experiential flavor.
Yeah.
I'd imagine that if they were actually tasting apricot, but you said peach, I suspect, but I don't know. But I mean, maybe, I guess I'm not a barista judge, so I don't know. But I'd imagine that they'd probably be convinced that it was peach. On the other hand, I suppose if it was like you're getting, I don't know, God, I mean, like say cinnamon. Yeah. And, you know, he said, oh, cinnamon's in there. And said, no, I only taste licorice. Like, okay, well, maybe that's different.
It absolutely, like, I think with flavor notes, because it's such a subjective question, and this is that when you approach flavor notes, you might not just taste it's the sweetness of apricot, it actually has a flavor of apricot, or it has the texture of apricot. So it might not carry the flavors, it might not carry the sweetness, but it's got that texture of apricot. You know, okay, cool. So I'm looking for the texture of apricot, but now I'm tasting rose water, and then the finish has whatever the last tasting note was that I gave. But basically you're guiding your judges through a flavorsome experience, and they go, yeah, I can align to what you're getting there. And judges want you to succeed. So, you know, no judge will seek to, you know, be biased. They will judge their espresso on what they're tasting. They'll listen only to the notes that you're giving them, and they will look for those notes. So they are going out of their way to look for them. But if it's not scoring highly, or it's not as prominent as something else that pops up in their flavor, then they will either mark you as, yes, I pick it up, but they won't mark you highly on it, something like that. So there's, there is tolerances to work there. Yeah.
So is it purely a flavor thing, or is there more to it? I'd imagine it's, yeah.
There definitely is. Basically, you want to take the judges and consequently the audience on a journey about this coffee. So what is special about this coffee? What does it add or change or impact on the specialty coffee industry? So quite often baristas will talk about the coffee itself. They'll talk about the farmer. They'll talk about the processing they did with that. They'll talk about how they explored it further with the roaster. And then the barista will talk about, this is how I got the best out of it. Because a barista doesn't really, in a lot of ways, they don't add anything to the coffee. They simply take away from the coffee to express or highlight things about this coffee that makes it so tasty and amazing.
You reckon so?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think you can add things like water for sure and all that, but it's all the flavors just there in the seed itself. It's a roaster's job and a barista's job, in my perspective, to unlock that. We can't add anything to the product that's already there.
I don't know. I mean, I know this is getting away from the barista comp, but I kind of feel like, you know, a lot of people say that in terms of what's added to a coffee, like, you know, I talk about 20% of the coffee flavor is from origin and 40% is from the roaster, and then 40% is from the barista. I think that split, I don't want to just detract at all from the work that's done at origin, because honestly, that's actually the more time consuming and laborious, you know, part of it. And I think all the flavors, albeit, you know, pre-roast flavors, so pre-reaction flavors, you know, they're all developed at origin. But at the same time, it takes a roaster's art and a barista's skill to extract, you know, maximum flavor. I wouldn't say that it's just, you know, pouring water over it. It's certainly not that. It's just saying roasting's just like, you know, roaster just, you know, puts a fire under it and then it warms it up. You know,
the way
that it's done makes all the difference. So I don't know. I think you're probably reducing a barista's importance there, actually. I'm surprised with that. I thought that as a barista you'd be very proud about your own. No, I am very proud.
I think this is where the skill of the barista comes in. It's the search to highlight the best aspects of that coffee, because a barista can very easily make a terrible coffee, which everyone go, no, this is a terrible coffee to drink, I don't want to drink this. So a barista's job is to know what to take away or what to affect in order to bring the best out of that coffee. Absolutely. So I certainly don't degrade what I do or what my peers do, but it,
Excellent. Our search
our search is absolutely to highlight the most positive aspects out of our coffee. So we search, we play with lots of different variables, be it temperature, time, how much comes out, how much goes in. Then we play around with milks to, you know, because some milks have different fats, different sugar contents, and that will change flavor. We also want to know what sort of water is at the competition ground, because if I'm competing in Queensland, the water's very different in Queensland compared to what's happening in Melbourne. So I know that when I put my espresso, my very coffee that I know so well in Queensland, through Melbourne water, it's going to change again. And now I need to go, okay, well, what am I expecting from this coffee now? How does it change? And so instantly I have to take all my experience and knowledge of this particular coffee and then work with the water that makes up 90% plus of the espresso itself, and then get, again, the best out of it that I can possibly get. I can't just mimic it and expect exact results. It just doesn't work that way. Coffee's such a volatile thing.
Yeah, right. I agree with that. So do you think that the, you know, I guess I've always sort of wanted this as well. So the barista comp, so it's obviously pretty intense in terms of delivering a flavor and a presentation performance and making sure one thing matches with the other. So it's almost like a calibration in a sense.
Yeah.
Do you think it makes, I'm trying to think of the way I ask this. Do you think it makes better baristas? Like in terms of like for the everyday consumer, at the end of the day, you know, baristas, it's a customer facing role.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you're serving people coffee, and for the most part, it's about getting it out as much as you can. It's not as much as you can, but as good as you can, as fast as you can, with a little bit of banter.
Yeah.
Do you think this helps that?
Yeah.
Or do you think it's?
I think where competition really does have an impact on the industry is not only do we see new technologies in a way being marketed on stage. For instance, the K43 grinder that Matt Perger used in his 2013 comp. A year later, this grinder is out of stock all over the world because everyone just took it up by storm, seeing the effects that it could have on coffee. And then you see the way that science has been played out in different formats. So there was, I want to remember his name correctly, I believe it was Dave in the UK. He used science on stage to show the different aspects of coffee and how it can affect flavor, and then how that affects then milk, and then, you know, it all results in this big final piece that he showed off, and that allowed him to take the win. There's with baristas themselves, if anyone wants to become better, then competition forces you into a zone where you've got to actually practice your skills and know what it is you're talking about with expected outcomes. And then you prepare yourself so in such a compressed format for a competition that you're so stressed out, you look at completely burnt out, but then you go into a cafe scenario and instantly the pressure is not the same anymore. You feel completely, your job becomes so much easier. And then when it comes to training and teaching others that your skill, and people go, why is your coffee so good? You express what you've learned on your journey through competition back into your field of expertise, whether it be just a barista behind a bar or with your colleagues or with your customer. I feel like each one of these things adds to the experience of coffee. So even for a general consumer, they might not ever hear a barista competition, but at the same time, they go, wow, this coffee is really, really good. There's something awesome about this barista. I want to learn more. I want to know why this coffee is so good. And then the conversation can begin. I think my biggest bugbear, and I think something that really does create an itch for baristas, is how do we get the story of coffee from more than just a seed of a fruit on a farm somewhere to a customer's attention? What would actually draw a customer's attention to it than just being a good cup of coffee that wakes me up in the morning?
Yeah, perhaps it's more about the differentiation in that respect as well. I think a lot of the, you know, most people that want coffee are drinking coffee. I mean, certainly, you know, we would say that from our report, the Cafe 2025 report, that people are drinking as much coffee as they're going to.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, like a lot of other data suggests that there's still some growth in the industry, but I suspect it's just people changing the way they're drinking coffee. But again, there's a lot of data out there that I don't have and I'd love to get my hands on. some's in transit, which is kind of cool. But yeah, no, very, very interesting. Yeah, right. Now, I almost wonder if an interesting routine for a barista competition would be to actually, you know, in terms of what customers tend to want most is, you know, speed of service, quality of offering and nice, you know, interesting kind of banter is to prepare, you know, the drinks that are required and the thing, but in the meantime, keep serving regular drinks out. Like just keep pushing like 100 coffees out in it. What is a 15-minute presentation, right?
Yeah, this particular one's 15 minutes. So you show off your four espressos, your four milk and your four signature. But there are competitions out there where literally teams of baristas, like teams of three, teams of four, will actually go down a long table and the table will be listed out with every drink order you can possibly think of. And they've got to make something like 25 or 30 drinks, which is a typical rush. And you've got to make them to this exact order and then put them down on the order docket sitting on the table and you will race against another team and they will judge you on a whole myriad of things. So not only is it speed, but it's, you know, what's the quality of drink? Does it look good? Does it taste good? Does it actually hit all the numbers? And then
teams
to go down there. So that's like a barista Olympics.
That's cool. See, I like that. I think that's a cool competition. You know, it's one of the funny ones. Like, it's, you know, what does the market want versus what should it, you know what I mean? It's an interesting sort of theory.
It really is.
Look, man, I think this is really interesting. All right, so where are we at here? So I think in terms of, I mean, I guess your learnings from coming out of the competition in 2019 and, of course, subsequently in 2020, but I know that there were some issues around that one.
Mm.
And also, well, I guess 2020 also then it's COVID, right?
Yeah, it's COVID. There's a lot happening that time.
Yeah. I think for next time and, you know, in terms of maximizing your chances of success in the competition, what do you think is, you know, other, I don't know, if you could pick three things, what are three things that you think success in the competition really hinge on? Like in terms of preparation and, you know, I don't know, logistical support and whatever it happens to be. What are the things that you would, you know,
focus on? I probably,
even repeat, having done previous competitions. Yeah.
I'd absolutely repeat what my peers and my coaches have said to me before in the form of Paul Asquith and Dom Chikato. They were always like, read the rules. And then when you've read them, read them again. And when you've read them, read them again. Like, know the rules so well that you can make the most use of all the points, because sometimes baristas on stage will just give away points not thinking about it. They won't have spare cutlery or crockery. They won't have spare cloths, stuff like that. And you're just giving away points. So that's always a huge one. It's just know the rules so well. Number two, the next takeaway personally for me is, now that I've had a taste of nationals and the mayhem and chaos that ensues with trying to make sure you're the right place, right time, and you have everything, is one, I probably either approach it, well, one, I know how competition is supposed to play out at nationals, so I will approach it with that mindset. I won't get stuck behind the public doors. I'll now go behind the loading bay.
Right.
But I think I definitely would like to have a team, a couple people that knew my routine as well as me that would be there to support me so that you can take your mind off making sure that you had all your cutlery and you can focus more on just being in the moment and prepared for the competition itself. And probably that's the one I've meditated over a lot, is figuring out how can I delegate? Can I trust others to go, yep, cool, they've got my back and I'm going to do all our work proud. I think the third takeaway, I think it's important to just keep testing different ideas and always looking back at what your peers have done and where the industry is going and then trying to build a story out of that. I think one of the hardest parts of competition preparing for it is coming up with a synergistic story that matches your coffee, matches the history that's gone through to get to the point where it's at, and going, okay, well, where's the industry going with this? Why would this be of any value to anyone? And of, you know, spending that time, I think that the biggest takeaway is just for me in that area is to keep testing and keep checking what's going on ahead of the industry, trying to figure out where it's going to go and how this coffee could be of use and of value to people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's okay. A bit of an ethereal concept, but it's a tough one.
yeah. Well, I guess a lot of it's going to be in the preparation then from what you're saying. So I guess it's making sure that, you know, the roasters, you know, you've got your timing also set, not just in your competition delivery, but also your ducks in a row with the coffee that you've got, with the roast dates, the roast times, you know, you've got people that are able to be, you know, work to the time frame that you need to work to deliver all that you need to deliver in the time frame allotted. That's a very general way of saying anything, by the way, but at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Cool, man. Well, look, I mean, that's very interesting sort of points. And, you know, can you give us a sneak peek into what you reckon you're going to do for the next Bristacon? Or is it too early to say?
It's partly too early to say, but honestly, I want to use the platform I now have, the role that I have being a part of the team CSEC within 7 miles, to see what we can do with coffee. So that's something I'm really key to making use of. I mean, if I'm there, I've got all the equipment, I've got your knowledge, I've got Johnny's expertise as well. I feel like we can actually bring something quite interesting to the industry that I hasn't seen before. And that's something I like to try and leverage.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's...
No, well, obviously we're here to help.
Yeah, well, quite often it's not that I'm... it's not that I don't have courage to ask those questions. The difficulty is actually knowing what question to ask in the first place. That's tough. And so having you guys around there, and quite often just having the melting pot of ideas that CSEC is, it's really, there's an opportunity to find some pretty cool stuff in coffee, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, look, man, there's a lot to do in coffee for sure. And, you know, that's why we're doing all the work in filtration and water quality and, you know, you name it.
It's pretty mind blowing.
Oh, well, you know, we dabble. Well, you're in a group, man. Come on.
Yeah. But I mean, even with my current projects, I'm like, wow, my head is spinning.
That's right. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, very good. Well, look, mate, that's all the questions I've got for you from my end. I mean, is there any other sort of parting thoughts you got there? Or
No. I think I feel like if anyone actually wants to look into World Barista Championships, again, there's a lot of different disciplines. There's Latte Art, Brewers Cup, roasting, coffee in good spirits, which is basically, as you can guess, the Turkish coffee roasting, cup tasters. There's so many disciplines. It's actually a very interesting field of coffee that I don't think a lot of people are aware of until you fall down the rabbit hole that is YouTube. But it's, yeah, if anyone has an interest in it, 7 Miles would be very keen to hear any thoughts or any takeaways you might have from this episode. We certainly love reading everyone's comments that come in about podcasting. So yeah, please let us know what you think, and we will check you guys out next time, I think. What about you, Adam?
Yeah, I think so. Sounds good, mate. All good. Absolutely. Far away.
Well, this is Coffee Science and Guru. Josh, your host, is signing off. And
myself, Adam.
Take it easy, guys, and see you next time. Bye.
See ya.